Thanks a lot then for passing that question to the government. And we will now continue with Ulrika Modéer, State Secretary for International Development Cooperation, on what your perspective on the role of as a shareholder and also a co-financier and financier of the bank. While taking the stage, I was just reminded when Anders Borg mentioned about Go China Way in Africa a few years ago, when I was discussing with the government of Tanzania and also some of the top researchers, I asked them, what is your relationship with China? And I got the answer, China is our partner, Europe is still the donor. So Ulrika, please.
Thank you, and thank you very much, IBA, for holding this event. I think it's very timely and important, since we are entering, or we are already in such an important year discussing financing for development. And also thank you for the report as such to you, Mr. Humphrey, and to the previous speakers. I think I will perhaps have more questions than answers myself, and I will allow me to have so because we're new in government, but also because I think that this situation with the development banks have been emerging during the past years, and I believe that many of the donors still have more questions, and therefore this discussion is so important. And I mean, Sweden, we have been a member in the bank since the bank allowed other members than the countries in Africa since 1982, and I believe that the development banks are so important now. As I said, I mean, we are really in a time where we are discussing how we should finance the important sustainable development goals that are very ambitious, but so necessary. And therefore, I think the report is important to see how the bank is stable, but also how it can get really good use of the funds, as you say, make even more use of the funds. And it's really important also to see how we should take into account the situation where we see that the least developed countries have less of support when it comes to more traditional aid, and also when it comes to the possibility of loaning, at the same time as it's very important to see that the middle-income countries needs to be part of the game. And also in relation, I think, to the sustainable development goals, it's important to see that many of the goals that we need to work towards, how we preserve in the best way our global public goods, those goals need to be supported also through the middle-income countries, through the economies growing faster in Africa, like Kenya, but also, of course, the countries in southern Africa, like South Africa and others, quicker-growing economies in Africa. And this is also where we can see that many of the projects that are there are not only important for the development and the economies in these countries, but they are also important for the continent as such. Maybe what we have discussed less is what we want to do with the funds that we are able to release. I mean, how can we really see that these investments are made in a way that makes the projects sustainable, both in the middle-income countries and the least developed countries. And I think that Anders Borg, he was bringing up that Africa has the possibility to skip some mistakes that the developing world has done and to make really smart investments through the ICT, for instance. And of course, this is very interesting for us to see how can we, as part of the African Development Bank, also support that at the same time as we respect and support the decision of the countries that are really the most important owners of the bank. So Sweden, I mean, we have, of course, given emphasis to projects that also take into account inclusive growth, sustainable growth, poverty reduction, but also climate and gender equality. And we will talk about releasing more funds and making the bank more competitive. How do we at the same time take into account these important aspects of development, how we make development also sustainable? I would like to bring that into the discussion and see, I mean, are there other examples of making smart investment when it comes to sustainable investment? Because, I mean, this year is not only about the Sustainable Development Goals, it also ends in Paris, the trip we are making together this year, where we want to see a binding and very good climate agreement. And of course, when we talk about infrastructure, we are very interested to see, and this has also been started up by the former government, how we can support, when we talk about the energy and the energy need that Africa has, renewable energy, and maybe this can be part of the smarter project that Africa can make, that can lead as an example in the world. Several of you brought up also the importance of having into mind the risks of debt and a new debt crisis, and this is also something that I would like to have the possibility to discuss with you here in the panel. I think we feel very secure about the African development banks taking into account the risks that the countries have. And at the same time, we see, and this is also what we see in the report, that the bank and other development banks that Sweden supports are much more in competition now. And if we make procedures more easy and lower the what you call the administration, or then, I mean, are we then posing countries into greater risk, and how can we deal with that if that is the case? I think that it was very interesting to listen to Dr. Nugunga talking about the importance of institutions. Of course, this also forms the analysis in Sweden of the government, and this has been part of Swedish development cooperation for many years and will be also onwards. So I think that this is, of course, a basis both of what the bank should take into account, but also how we would like to support with our development cooperation, the development in Africa, also through other parts of our development cooperation. I think I will leave there, and then maybe I will have the opportunity to come back when we are...
Yes, yeah. So what I will do now is to invite our final panelist, Anna Riott, to address the private sector angle of this, and then all the panelists will join me at the stage to discuss the report as such. So please, Anna, if you could join us.
So, thank you for inviting me today, and also thank you for a very important and interesting report. I will take the private sector perspective on this, and I have mainly three remarks to do before the panel will start to discuss these interesting questions. So, the first one is private sector development as a driving force for eradicating poverty. Secondly, I think it's important to discuss the different roles that the different actors have, focusing on these aspects. And we need to fill the gaps rather than reinventing the wheel again and again. So that is the point I want to make. And finally, I want to talk about the DFIs, the Development Finance Institutions, role in this context. So starting up with poverty reduction, and a focusing on job creation and private sector development. We all knew that the first millennium goal to half extreme poverty was reached two-thirds by growth. And 9 out of 10 jobs was created in the private sector. So, of course, the private sector have a crucial role to play in this context. But we need now to focus further. We need to find and focus on a more inclusive growth. We need to focus on a growth where sustainability matters and goals and environmental goals are very, very closely connected with other development goals. So that is one point. I think it's also important to say that this is not only an economic factor. It's also a survey made by the World Bank where they talk to 60,000 of the people living in extreme poverty and ask them, what is the most important way to be lifted out of poverty? And the most of the people answered a job. So again, focusing on job creation is absolutely crucial in this context. So today, 200 million people are living without a job. And only in Kenya, 1 million youth are turning 18 every year. And these kids are more educated, they are connected, and they also want a job. And here we have an enormous potential. But if we can't solve this, we will see a security risk that is also huge. So my first point is, how can we make sure focusing on poverty reduction to really make it inclusive? The second point is, how do we make sure that different actors really play their role? There are so many new initiatives right now. When more money is flowing into private sector development, we are trying to reinvent models that already exist. And I think it's important that we know that private sector development are really focusing on three pillars. One pillar is building strong institutions, and that is traditionally made by aid agencies. The second pillar is strong infrastructure. And here the development banks have an extremely important role. And I think they can play an even more central role in the infrastructure development. And finally, it's about private direct investment. And here we have the role of the DFIs, the Development Finance Institution. And what we need to do now is to see where are the gaps? How can these actors work together? And how can we make sure that we keep our uniqueness and at the same time leverage? So $1 becomes $10 and $100. So I think there are a huge opportunity here, but I also would like to stress that there are also a lot of risk of distorting the market that actually are functioning if we don't do this the right way. Finally, the point of the DFIs. Our focus is to really do direct investment, and our role is to be additional. Of course, we should never invest in countries or sectors where there is enough private capital. Secondly, we need to be catalytic, and that means we need to bring other investors and actors into the markets, into the sectors where the need is most or biggest. And thirdly, it needs to be inclusive. Again, what sectors, what countries, what regions are the ones that really can make sure that we reach this youth, women that also need to be part of the growth and the job opportunities. And for Swedfund, we have been working since 1979, focusing on private sector development. And our focus, or our experience, have been building a model that takes all these matters into account. And the model we are working with right now is also built on three pillars. It's built on social impact. Every investment that we do, we measure first the social impact. How many jobs is created? Secondly, we haven't talked much about that today, but it's about taxes. How much do we increase taxes within the countries where we invest? And thirdly, it's about knowledge transfer. And our second pillar is about sustainability. Is it possible to do this social impact and this investment in a sustainable way? And I think we need to come not with too many indicators, but at least we need to come with some really important ones. So job creation is not only about jobs, it's about sustainable job with good working conditions. And then we focus on environmental matters and finally anti-corruption. And the third pillar is about financial viability. It's about growth, return on investment, and profit. And all these three pillars need to be in place if we are going to do the investment. And I think it's also important that we measure it, and we do it before the investment and during as an active long-term owner, and then also when we exit. So we make sure that we leave something that is much bigger and better than it was before we entered. So I think if we can use this model and work together with the development banks, finding the gaps, then we have an opportunity to really fight poverty and create an inclusive growth. I think I'll stop there because I will come to the challenges and the gaps and how we can work even better together later on.
Thank you.